Good morning, I'm Allison Ruttenberg, counsel for Tony Singleton. Mr. Singleton was convicted in Denver of various charges for allegedly directing a prostitution ring under the guise of an escort service. He was convicted of the charges. He was sentenced as an habitual offender after the habitual offender phase of the case. And then he filed a pro se Rule 35C motion that was denied without an evidentiary hearing, and the district court did not make detailed findings of fact or conclusions of law. He raised a rather unusual issue that we don't see very often in his 35C motion, and that was that his counsel was ineffective for failing to, as he wished his counsel to do, raise the issue of not only venue, but the issue that he had a state constitutional right to be tried in the county. I don't know if this timer is working. It doesn't seem to be starting. There we go. So not only was there a venue issue, but there's the issue of he has the state constitutional right to be tried in the county where the charges are alleged to have taken place. Now, the venue statute changes that a little bit by saying that he can also be tried in a county where acts in furtherance of the crime took place. He alleged in the 35C motion that that was unconstitutional, that the General Assembly cannot abrogate the state constitution, but that issue needs not be decided because there were no acts in furtherance of the prostitution ring that were either alleged by the prosecution in the information or proved at trial. There were three alleged occurrences of prostitution, one at a football player's house, and nowhere in the record is there any evidence of where that football player's house was. And then at this house at 10039 South Parker Road. And that's the key issue here. That's the key disputed issue of fact that we contend the district court had to hold an evidentiary hearing to determine where that address was. Was that Denver County or Arapahoe County? Mr. Singleton, in his pro se 35C, you know, had MapQuest and other evidence that made the prima facie showing that that address was in Arapahoe County, not Denver County. And that was why he had initially told his trial lawyer to raise this issue, because he wanted to be tried by an Arapahoe County jury. The district court just summarily denied this issue by concluding that, well, it was a reasonable trial strategy to try the case in Denver rather than Arapahoe. But the district court can't make those types of findings without there being an evidentiary hearing. You know, first of all, we need to hear from Mr. Singleton. Mr. Singleton needs to testify under oath what he discussed with his trial counsel, what his trial counsel told him about that issue. He clearly tried to preserve that initially because he filed a pro se motion raising those issues. So this isn't something he thought up after the fact. While he was, you know, doing his research as a jailhouse lawyer after he'd been convicted, he initially raised this pro se. So this isn't something new that, you know, can be alleged that he's only raising now. He clearly wanted this issue litigated. And so there's clear issue in the record that he should have had some sort of a conversation with his counsel regarding that. And there needs to be an evidentiary hearing to flesh out what that conversation was and how he was advised. Second, like I said, there's this disputed issue of material fact as to whether 1039 South Parker Road is in Denver County or Arapahoe County. And then more importantly, how did his counsel advise him? In order for the district court to conclude that that was a reasonable strategy decision, there has to be some sort of evidence that, well, what was the conversation between trial counsel and Mr. Singleton? Did trial counsel, for example, advise him that he'd be better off in Denver County, that this mistake was to his advantage, that even though he has this constitutional right, that in Denver County, he's more likely to have a diverse jury? Mr. Singleton is African-American. The football player was African-American. A lot of the witnesses were African-American. Typically, Arapahoe County juries tend to be all white. There's very few minorities that appear on the jury wheel in Arapahoe County. And I know in other 35Cs, that's raised a lot in Arapahoe County 35Cs. But was that discussed between trial counsel and Mr. Singleton, what the advantages and disadvantages were, you know, waiving this issue? And then more importantly, did Mr. Singleton make a knowing and intelligent waiver of a state constitutional right to be tried by a jury in Arapahoe County where this crime took place, if indeed 1039 South Parker Road is in Arapahoe County? That can't be determined on this record. There has to be an evidentiary hearing.
Are you suggesting that the trial court has some obligation to advise a defendant of this constitutional right and obtain some waiver on the record? And if so, what authority do you have for that proposition?
No. Trial counsel, once Mr. Singleton talks to trial counsel and says, I want you to raise this issue. This is important to me. I have the state constitutional right. I want to be tried in Arapahoe County.
I'm not aware, though, that we analyze issues of waiver of constitutional rights in terms of what trial counsel may have advised the defendant as opposed to what the trial court advised the defendant.
And I understand, but what I'm saying here is that his lawyer was ineffective for ignoring that issue. And once Mr. Singleton raised that to his trial counsel then needed to have a conversation with him because he clearly had that state constitutional right. Mr. Singleton wasn't waiving it. He wanted his lawyer to raise it. His lawyer ignored him. And now in his 35C, Mr. Singleton is saying, I was prejudiced by that ineffective assistance of counsel because not only did he ignore me, this was an important constitutional right I had that I did not waive.
But I understand that. What do we do with a situation where part of the acts constituting the offense occur in one county and part of the acts occur in the other county? I mean, surely then the Constitution doesn't provide that it has to be tried in one county over the other. I mean, wouldn't either county suffice to satisfy the Constitution?
Your Honor, I believe in this case, there's no clear evidence that any of the acts took place in Denver because we don't know where the football player's home was. Nobody put that into evidence. The only evidence of an address of where these crimes took place is 1039 South Parker Road, and Mr. Singleton made a very good prima facie showing that that was in Arapahoe County. There's speculation that other acts may have taken place in Denver County, but there's no other evidence of that. In this case, we have speculation that part of this crime may have taken place in Denver County, but no actual evidence. And then the evidence that we do have seems to indicate, at least from a prima facie point of view, that address was in Arapahoe County. And therefore, when Mr. Singleton tried to raise that pretrial, it fell below the standard of care for his lawyer to ignore that and refuse to litigate that. Unless there's all this evidence that I spoke of before, that maybe they had this conversation of, well, Tony, you'd be much better off in Denver County than Arapahoe County. Why do you want to raise form over substance? You'd be better off in Denver anyway. Why don't we take advantage of this charging mistake? But there's no evidence of that in the record.
What is your argument concerning prejudice? Is it simply that he might have gotten a different jury in Arapahoe County?
The prejudice is that he lost his state constitutional right to be tried by a jury comprised members who reside in the county where the crime took place. That is the prejudice. Right, that is his constitutional right.
Now that might establish that the right has been violated, but there's still a prejudice prong to the inquiry. That is, how was he harmed? You know, would it have made a difference? That's what we typically look at. If he was tried by an impartial jury, how was he prejudiced? He's only entitled to an impartial jury regardless of which county he's in.
Well, I mean, the problem with analyzing it that way is that then that state constitutional right is pretty meaningless because, you know, every time a defendant is charged in another county, then the argument is going to be, well, what difference does it make? You get an impartial jury in Mesa County, so you've got an impartial jury. How are you prejudiced?
Yes, you are going to get that question because that's how we analyze cases. We look to whether there was an error. And then if there was an error, we have to examine whether the error requires reversal. And to answer that second question, we have to look at prejudice. And that's true with everything except things that are structural error, and it includes constitutional errors. So yes, you're going to get that question.
I understand. And his argument is, and I can't phrase it any other way, that he had the right to be tried by an Arapahoe County jury. He felt that an Arapahoe County jury would be better able to analyze his case because he'd be more familiar with the geography and with the types of scenarios that happened in Arapahoe County. And he was very insistent upon that. And trying to speculate now without an evidentiary hearing as to all the different ways, well, maybe that he wasn't prejudiced, is exactly why this case needs to be remanded for an evidentiary hearing, so that he can demonstrate all the reasons why it was so important to him to be tried by an Arapahoe County jury rather than a Denver County jury. And it was error for the district court to just summarily deny this without an evidentiary hearing when he clearly made a prima facie case.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If he would make that showing, what is the allegation of prejudice?
Well, the allegation of prejudice is that an Arapahoe County jury would be more likely than not would have been able to determine that this wasn't prostitution, this was just an escort service based on other things that happened in that neighborhood
but
they might
that
be
that,
more familiar with.
That those are the claims that were made then?
That's the claims that he tried to make in his pro se 35C motion, and I realize I'm stuck with the allegations he made in this pro se 35C motion, and there's no way to supplement that record. But given the fact that he made a prima facie showing of the fact that his trial counsel ignored him, that he had clear evidence that there was a very clear issue here as to whether venue should have been in Arapahoe County versus Denver County, it was error for the district court to not hold that evidentiary hearing so we could have fleshed out all of these factual details. And with that, I'd like to reserve my last 4 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Majid Yazdi, registration 36043, representing the people in this case. To begin with, the claim that defense counsel failed to understand the difference between the constitutional protection and the statutory provision is not supported by the record because there was no claim made below. The pro se motion for change of venue or challenging the venue specifically referred both to the statute 18-1202 and the constitutional provision, relying on both for challenging the venue. And the court rejected that. When trial counsel entered his appearance in January 2008, that was more than the time allowed for defense counsel to even challenge the venue, because under 18-1202, subsection 11, there is 21 days allowed for challenging after arraignment. And arraignment was done in August of 2007. So there was no option for defense counsel to even renew that motion and challenge because it was past 21 days, the statutory period for challenging them. And more specifically, even in the 35 motion, there is no allegation that counsel misunderstood the constitutional provision. The only challenge made, the only claim raised in the 35C motion was that counsel failed to renew the motion, the pro se motion that defendant had filed. And of course, based on the facts presented, there was no ground for challenging that. It was proper, as the court found, reasonable strategy for defense counsel not to renew that motion because it was baseless.
Counsel, irrespective of whether or not counsel made a strategic decision, does our record indicate that Denver would have been another or a different appropriate venue?
Yes, because the charges are pimping, inducement, procurement, pandering, none of these require that the act, the sexual act that constitutes part of the Constitution, happen in the same district. Obviously, there could be clients in other districts, but the activity that is part of the basis for this charge, the publications that were presented, the pictures, the advertisement, and actually taking the victim here from Denver to other parts of different counties or different parts of the city, they all occurred in Denver. So as the court pointed out, the vast majority of activities actually happened in Denver. And that would provide jurisdiction and venue for this case. And as Judge Jones pointed out, there is no allegation of prejudice, even in the opening brief. What was discussed for the first time here was not even raised below. So this claim fails on several grounds, including the fact that the 35C motion that is before this court, the denial of that motion itself did not raise the claim, and this claim has been raised for the first time on appeal and is not properly before this court.
Are you referring to the claim that the statute is unconstitutional?
Yes.
Okay.
And plus the fact that the claim that counsel failed to understand the difference and that defendant specifically asked counsel to address that issue. There is no basis for that claim in the record. And I'd like to briefly, on the same point of lack of record evidence for this, I'd like to point out that the habitual counts claim, the claim raised below was that counsel failed to raise a sufficiency of evidence claim regarding only one count of habitual criminal offense, which was count number 8, plus that defendant was entitled to a jury trial for habitual criminal determination. Only those two claims were made in the 35C motion. The court rejected that properly because, of course, defendant was not entitled to a jury trial. That was a baseless claim. And secondly, defense counsel had actually challenged the admission of evidence proving defendant's Weld County conviction, which is under the underlying crime for count 8. So both of those claims that counsel had failed were not supported by the record, and the court relied on that in denying the 35C motion. Here on appeal, there is a new claim raised, and that is that defense counsel failed to challenge the constitutionality of the conviction under count 8. That claim was not made below, and court did not even address it in its order denying the motion. So on that basis, that claim fails and is not properly before this court. Now, regarding the other two, the two aspects of jury instructions, unless the court has any questions, we just stand by the arguments made in the brief, and I ask the court to affirm the district court's order denying the motion. Thank you very much.
Now, the Attorney General stated correctly that the pro se, there's two pro se motions here. There's the pretrial pro se motion, then there's the pro se 35C motion. So I don't want to get the two confused. The first pro se motion, the pretrial pro se motion, the Attorney General correctly stated that that motion referred to both the venue issue and his state constitutional right to have a jury comprised of residents of the county where the crime took place. He raised that pro se, and then trial counsel entered their appearance more than 21 days later, after the time had expired to challenge venue. That's correct. However, the claim is that trial counsel failed to renew that motion and argue those issues. He raised both of those issues in that pretrial motion. There is no time limit for when you can raise a constitutional issue. He is not limited to being able to raise in only the first 21 days the issue of whether his state right to have or state constitutional right to be tried by a jury comprised of residents of the county in which the crime took place. That is untrue, that he may only raise that within the first 21 days. He may have waived the statutory right, but he did not waive the constitutional right, and that's what he's basing his ineffective assistance of counsel claim on.
Well, counsel, when does he have to raise it? Can he raise it anytime he wants?
He can raise it anytime before trial.
Before trial. And what's your authority for that?
There is case law that states that you can raise that claim anytime before trial. I don't have that citation memorized, but otherwise, I mean, there's no case that says you waive a constitutional right unless you raise it within X days before trial or you raise it pursuant to a pretrial order. There's no case that says that. There's no case that says that constitutional rights under the state constitution are waived unless, like I said, you make a knowing and intelligent waiver of that right, and there's no time limit given for when that waiver has to occur. Otherwise, you're deemed to have waived it by inaction. And again, I respectfully submit that the Attorney General here is doing what the District Attorney did below in the response to the 35C motion and trying to take the position of, well, there's all this other evidence that the crimes took place in Denver. No, there's evidence that other things took place in Denver. Just because the Johns may have come from Denver, for example, the crimes took place, the actual pandering, pimping, and inducing, there's no evidence that that took place at any other location other than that 1039 Parker Road address or that football player's address. And there's nothing in the record that states where that football player's address is. It's not even assumed that's in Denver. We don't know where that is. The pimping, pandering, and inducing took place at that 1039 South Parker Road address, and that's what's in Arapaho County. So I respectfully request that this court reverse and remand with instructions to hold an evidentiary hearing so that these disputed issues of fact can be litigated below and a sufficient record created so that this court can then properly evaluate the legal issues. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The case will stand submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course. And